Have you ever wondered how we test gear before it is fielded to Marines? Testing and evaluation is essential for Marine Corps leadership to make independent, objective, and defensible acquisition decisions. One organization is tasked with ensuring this is possible, the Marine Corps Operational Test and Evaluation Activity, also known as MECATEA. MECATEA plans, executes, and evaluates material solutions against warfighter requirements under realistic conditions to determine operational effectiveness and suitability. MECATEA plays a major part in many of the systems we develop here at Marine Corps Systems Command. Today, I'm joined by Colonel Brock McDaniel, Director of MECATEA. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tripp. Thanks for being here.
It's great to have you here. Brock, I've known you for quite a while. We've worked together quite a bit, but I can honestly say I do not actually know your whole career history, why you joined the Corps. So can you take us back a few years and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, again, thanks for the invitation. I feel like I'm coming back home. It's always good to be back at SysCom.
Welcome back.
As far as going back to, you know, how I got in the Marine Corps, I was very blessed to grow up in a patriotic family. I used to walk down the hallway when I was very young and see this picture of my dad in his Marine Corps uniform. And that led me to ask questions. And he had shared with me that he had four brothers that had served in the Marine Corps, one of them during World War II.
Okay.
And then my dad had spent 4 years in the Marine Corps working on F-8s and then subsequently went to work for United. So all my life or young life, you know, I had this strong liking or appeal to the Marine Corps. And then also because I got to fly a lot due to my dad working for United, I combined the two and I knew from a very young age that I wanted to join the Marine Corps, be like my dad and hopefully fly airplanes. So I was fortunate enough to get to do both. And I'm, you know, 30 years later, still on active duty. So I'm enjoying the ride.
So what was the path from flying aircraft to getting into acquisition for you?
So I went to the Naval Postgraduate School, and I was thinking that I was getting a master's in something that was close to business administration. It was called acquisition management.
Okay.
And I had no idea how that would impact my career. But once I finished, came to SysCom to do a payback tour and just absolutely loved doing what I was doing, realizing how important acquisition is to the ability for Marines to, you know, go out and execute their mission. And I found it just very fulfilling. And at the same time, I had a son that was born with some medical issues, and I realized that I probably couldn't go back to Cherry Point and him get the medical care that he might need, some of the specialists and everything. Well, right about that time, the Marine Corps came out with this new acquisition MOS, and they were looking for field grade officers to apply. And I thought, okay, I think the good Lord's given me an opportunity. And I jumped on it, and I was fortunate to get selected, and I've been doing it ever since.
Were you a major then?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so that the listeners have an idea of where in your career you kind of made that transition.
Yes.
So.
I was a much younger man than I am now.
Yes. A little bit more hair or whatever. So. Good deal. When I tend to think of MECATEA, I think of testing and evaluating systems, but there is a lot more to it than that, right? Could you give us an overview of what MECATEA does?
Yeah, so philosophically, I'd like to think that we're in the customer service business, and our product is information. And the whole reason that MECATEA exists is really to provide the decision makers with information so they can make investment decisions for the Marine Corps. And at the same time, we want to be able to give the warfighters confidence that whatever they're given, it works as advertised, it's safe, and hopefully can be used in combat. So we look at it from a philosophical standpoint like that. At the same time, I think it's important that we all acknowledge that Force Design 30 is the vision for the Marine Corps. And I know the acquisition community is under tremendous pressure to try and speed up the process. And I see our role as helping program managers to get to yes with regard to meeting their schedule needs. So we can tailor our tests to make sure they get the information that they need, it's independent, and at the same time, it meets their schedule.
So you say independent, and I know that MECATEA has a strong emphasis on independence. And you're kind of the honest broker in the room to provide that independence. Why is that such an important distinction?
The independence is really what lends to our credibility. In other words, no one is influencing the conclusions that we come to. It's based on data that we collect and that we evaluate and then report on. But it's also, I think, really important to underscore that while we're independent in our conclusions, it doesn't mean that we have to be isolated. And it's really important that I think there's a strong communication flow between the requirements community, the material developer community, and the testing community, so that when we go out and test, ideally we're providing the information that the decision makers, whether it be a program manager, milestone decision authority, or you know, assistant commandant or commandant of the Marine Corps, they're getting the information they need.
So the process that you go through at McAtee, it's a 6-step process. Can you give us an overview and how do you tailor that for different systems?
Yeah, so the great thing is we really use the same process regardless of whether or not it's a quick reaction assessment, operational assessment, or an IoT&E. More simplistically, I could break it down into 3 steps. There's planning, executing, and reporting. But if I break down in the 6 steps, if you will, 3 of them are under planning. So the first one is our evaluation planning. And that's where we're really looking at what are the key questions that the service wants answered. And we call those critical operational issues. And once we understand what those questions are, we can break it down into how we would actually measure certain things to be able to answer those questions. That's part of the evaluation planning. Next part is once we've done that and we've developed our evaluation plan, we'll go through the test concept planning. And really that boils down to where's the best site to conduct the test, what size unit or how many Marines do we need to have, what are all the logistical considerations to ensure that we can execute a good and fair test, but that it's also operationally realistic. We want to put a system in an environment that hopefully it would, you know, be synonymous with what it would do in combat. So the test concept is the second step. The third step is what we call detail planning. And that's where we've now taken both the evaluation planning and the test concept, and we break it into the specifics and put together our actual test plan. In other words, how many trials do we want to execute? And we literally start, you know, day by day and walk through the entire scope of test, if you will. And that's really influenced by the design of experiments and the statistical confidence that we're looking to produce with eventually our report. The fourth step is just actually going out and executing the step. That's where our testers are out there with Marines and the operationally realistic or production representative systems in an operationally realistic environment. We try and run them through as close to a, you know, combat type scenario or mission scenario, if you will. It's mission-based testing. So at the end of the day, we can see, hey, how well did this system and the Marines do based on the training they've received?
Does it do what we expect to see in combat and need it to do in that environment?
Exactly. Fifth step is just our data reporting. So we've gone from planning, executing, and now we're in what I would call the reporting phase. So we have our data reporting where we're just collecting or taking the raw data from the test and making sure that it's validated. And we typically actually put together what's called a test data report, and we kick it out within 10 days of the completion of the test, just to give all the stakeholders, you know, vis-a-vis DOT&E, if it's on oversight, for example, or the program office, that report. And then our final report is the operational evaluation report, and that's the 6th phase, the evaluation reporting. And that's where we actually put together the report that lets everybody know, was the system effective, suitable, and survivable? So we're intending to inform the decision makers on how well the system did.
Now, you're not doing this in a vacuum. You're, as I understand it, the process, you're working alongside the acquisition process. So as they're going through the acquisition process, helping to pick a piece of equipment, they're talking to people at McAtee, you're involved, right?
Yes, and if I could borrow a line out of the Bible, we should be involved in the beginning.
In the beginning, right.
Yeah, and it really boils down to the T&E whippet, right? It, you know, we should, as a community, meaning the requirements, the material developers, and then, you know, the testers, be coming together to make sure, first and foremost, are the requirements written in such a way that they're testable and measurable? And then, you know, working again with that same T&E whippet, we should understand what's the program office's need, meaning what's their schedule, when do they have a milestone C or a full rate production decision, so that either our operational assessment or an IoT would be planned to inform those key milestones. And that's where, again, when I talk about us trying to find a way to get to yes, it's understanding the scope of the system so that we can tailor a test so that it's commensurate with the scope of the system or the program, but then meeting the timeline that the program manager may have to need to get the information.
So when we talk program manager, I think program of record. Are you only doing this for programs of record, or do you do it for other science projects or whatever else? For example, maybe something from the Marine Corps Warfighting Lab.
Yeah, great question. So our primary focus is programs of record. That's why we exist, is to conduct operational testing. But we provide so much more than that. We have done assessments for the Warfighting Lab on specific experimental programs. But we've also done things, assessments for TCOM, Weapons Training Battalion. We just completed an effort that was helping to take a look at the annual rifle qualification training for Weapons Training Battalion. We also just completed an assessment of the MCEN, what used to be known as the deployable MCEN. Now it's just the MCEN, but we did that for Director of C4. So yes, we do a lot of other things outside of just conducting operational testing, as the service may need us to take a look at specific problem statements. And the reason that they come to us is because we're really the only organization in the Marine Corps that has the skill sets that we do, the ORSAs, the mass statisticians, data collectors, test managers, and then the OTPOs, that can really put together a rigorous plan, if you will, so that when we provide answers, it's with statistical confidence. And again, we're the only organization in the Marine Corps that can do those kind of assessments.
Okay. I appreciate the clarification, because in my mind, I've only ever really interfaced with MCATIA, you know, on programs of record. So it's interesting to know that you're doing it with, you know, other parts of the Marine Corps as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for you as the director, what is a day or a week in your life look like to you?
Very busy.
Very busy.
No, just like in any other leadership position, you try and establish your battle rhythm. So a typical battle rhythm for me is, when I come in the morning, I'm taking a look at what are the sit reps that have come in, meaning if we've got test teams that were out and we're in different time zones, they'll send in a situation report on how everything was going with the test. So I come in the morning, that's, you know, the first thing I take a look at. And then obviously, the normal day is filled with a variety of either, you know, planning or decision meetings, where, again, it could be dealing with either the planning, execution, or reporting, depending on what the program is and where it's at. And then there's a lot of collaboration, obviously, with a variety of different folks in those skill sets as we're trying to figure out what's the best way to collect the information and or report out on a test. A lot of times I'm actually reviewing our reports, because any report that comes out of MCATIA I sign. So I will spend a significant part of my week or a day, reviewing those reports. But the best part of my job, honestly, is just working with my fellow MCATIANs. You know, they are so patriotic and hardworking, and again, I'm just awed by their intellectual acumen and the professionalism that they display on a daily basis. It makes my job a lot of fun.
What does your organization look like? When you say MCATIANs, so who are the MCATIANs? Where are they located?
Yeah, so first of all, we're on base, Building 2032. Come by anytime.
Good to go.
But we're about 100 strong, give or take a few. But the organization is broken down in active duty Marines, and then we're about 25% active duty Marines, and then 3/4 government civilians. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the government civilians are broken into different skill sets. As I said, we've got ORSAs, mass statisticians, data collectors, test managers, OTPOs. We've got a live fire division. We've got a cyber division, and they stay very, very busy. Again, our live fire is the only division in the Marine Corps that does the kind of analysis that they do to understand the impact of small arms fire, fragmentation, or heavy weapons on either personal protective equipment, helmets, or on vehicles like ARV or ACV. And then our cyber bubbas are fantastic. They go out and do the assessment to find out how vulnerable is something and how well are the systems or the operators of the systems able to identify a cyber threat and or mitigate it. And our folks just do a great job of reporting out on those things.
Do you get any technical support from the Navy labs on some of those topics?
We collaborate with the other OTAs, and if we need augmentation, for example, for cyber, if we're going out and doing an adversarial assessment, we'll go through the MCOG, NCIA, and do the appropriate planning and or have a red team available. And then it becomes a collaborative effort where the red team is, you know, coming in and again, we're doing the analysis and then the reporting on how well the Marines and or the system did in the cyber environment. We went out and did ACV. That test had almost 500 people that were involved with it. So we were augmented by ATEC. We'll use other government agencies if we need outside assistance. But we do also, again, participate in a number of joint efforts, and we work closely with the other OTAs as well.
So when you say the other OTAs, AFATEC, OPTEP 4, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, AFATEC is for the Air Force. ATEC is the Army. OPTEP 4 is for the Navy. And for example, just here recently, we did the Lightning Carrier evaluation on the LHA, which is where us and the Navy went out and evaluated, you know, the ability to put F-35s on an LHA, and it was a successful evaluation. It was important to the Marine Corps to show what's in the realm of the possible.
All right. Well, I mean, I appreciate your clarifying that. It's always great to understand how we're functioning with, you know, the other departments within the DOD, Air Force, Army. So appreciate that. So my new word of the week is going to be McAteeans, by the way. So what are some of the exciting things that McAteeans are working on right now?
If I was to look at it from a programmatic standpoint, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Force Design 30 is obviously the vision of the Marine Corps. So programs that are focused in that arena, the long-range fire or precision fire programs are really at the forefront. So Nemesis, we just completed an operational assessment earlier this year on that. ACV, obviously, very important capability of the Marine Corps, especially in an Indo-PACOM type environment. We've done a couple of tests on it. The ACVP, which is the personnel variant, and then also the C2 command and control variant. When we're currently doing the planning on the 30 Mike. Yeah, we're getting ready to do a ship to shore connector evaluation. You know, there's just it's nonstop for McAtea and all the different areas, whether it's individual type, you know, equipment that folks are wearing, vehicles, command and control type stuff. Mattis is another one that we're participating in. So when you think of Force Design 30 and all the different, you know, important equipment that entails, we're very fortunate to be the ones that get to go out and evaluate it. And our folks are very busy doing that.
As you do your testing and you're writing up your reports and all that, you were doing this on behalf of the warfighter trying to ensure that the equipment meets the needs of the warfighter. What is your interface with Fleet Marines, realizing that some of the Marines that will use the gear that you're testing right now haven't even been born? Because some of this is going to be used for 20, 30 years from now. So what's your interface with the fleet?
Yeah, it's critical. And I think one of the things that makes our operational tests both important and unique is that it's essential that Marines are actually operating the systems. You know, during developmental testing, you might have contractors that are actually conducting a lot of the testing, or maybe even program office personnel. But when we go out and do an operational test, you know, you're using the production representative system, and you want Marines that are actually, you know, performing their missions on those systems. So we will, as I said, during the test concepting phase, we will really take a look at what size unit do we need. You know, is it a platoon or a squad, maybe even a battalion, depending on the size and scope of the event. But while we're on test, that interaction with the Marines and ask the ability to ask them questions. We have what's called a SUS. It's a system user survey, and it has very detailed and deliberate questions to ask the Marines about how the system performed, what were the ergonomics like, do they have recommendations on how to make it better. So at the end of the day, you know, they're filling these things out, and we can get a lot of very valuable information from them because they're the ones that are going to be using it. So, you know, their opinion really matters. So in addition to collecting data based on, you know, the mission threads and or design of experiments, then you have the Marines' input, And you put those two things together and you get a lot of really useful information to be able to provide the decision makers.
Now you talked a little bit just now about working with the program office and some events that they're doing. Not all of the tests that our equipment go through that Mechatail will, I'll say, sign off on are ones that y'all conduct. There are times when you come out and if the program office is going to be doing what could be an operationally relevant test, you'll just come out, you'll observe, and that way, well, we don't need to spend the taxpayers' money twice to test the same thing. So how does that work, and how often would you say that happens?
A lot. Integrated testing is the right way to do testing. And what I mean by that is if the T&E Whippet has worked effectively, there's a lot of opportunity to collect data during what we would consider DT events, so that by the time you get to OT, you know, it's tailored or maybe de-scoped and doesn't need to be as long or complex because we've utilized those DT events to actually capture data. And that goes back to planning. You know, preparation leads to success. So if the T&E Whippet is sitting down and, for example, you know, the program offices use a requirements traceability matrix where, you know, they're taking a list of their requirements and or spec requirements, and they're showing what event that, you know, these are going to be evaluated with. Well, if the T&E Whippet's, you know, collaborating and working together, we might help to influence how many trials are done during a specific event and then be able to use that data so that it's not required to be collected during an operational test. And again, we call that integrated testing where, you know, the entire community, if you will, is coming together. And during the testing continuum, we're collecting data and or making it useful so that when we report out, you know, that data is actually incorporated into the report.
And so that goes back to your in the beginning. Get Mechatail involved.
That's right.
In the beginning.
That's right. And you know, not every test not every program requires a full-blown operational test. You know, it may be a smaller program where we will come out and help, you know, with either just the planning or, you know, provide subject matter expertise to the program office and help their folks to think through, you know, how they might measure something. Or we may come out and do an assessment just by observing something where we're not necessarily the lead on it. The program office may have the lead, but we would still collect data and or use program office data and then give our, independent assessment of how we think the system is progressing.
All right, so let me change gears. So we talked a little bit about working with the other services, working with the program offices, interfacing with the fleet. When I look up the chain of command, there is this thing called the Office of the Director of Operational Tests and Evaluation. Who are they and what's your relationship with them?
So DOT&E provides oversight and they report to Congress. So when there's a larger scale program that's on what we call DOT&E oversight, DOT&E is involved with observing the planning and the execution and then reporting. We as the OTA will write our evaluation report, but then DOT&E will also write their own report. And as I said earlier, the director, who is now Honorable Gurton, reports to Congress on how well these systems are performing. We have a very good relationship with them. I have a monthly telecon with the director. I can speak to him as needed. He's you know, very open to dialogue whenever it's required. But at a minimum, we have a monthly telecon where we just review the things that we're working on together and provide any sort of updates. But our relationship with DOT&E is a very good one.
Excellent. So we talked about a bunch of the current things that Mechatail is working on, and we've talked a little bit about some of the stuff you've done in the past. What's the next big thing that you envision Mechatians working on?
Well, anything related to Force Design 30, obviously, is
right.
You know, primary focus. But if I was to take a look at it from more of an innovative standpoint, I think as we go forward, there's a heavy emphasis on trying to test in contested environments, fully understanding if we got into an Indo-PACOM type fight, how well do our systems, you know, operate when they're in a contested environment. So EW, C2 type things are obviously very important. We're also, in addition to, you know, just looking at a contested environment, we're looking to have more realism with multi-domain testing, meaning that, You know, we recognize that, you know, it may not just be an air or ground domain, but now you've got to think about space and or, you know, cyber
right.
With some of these systems and understanding how to properly evaluate in those multi-domain, but also joint environments as well. So it's not maybe just a Marine Corps test, but we, you know, with the integration to the Navy, many of our systems require us to look at not the system in isolation, but how well is it, you know, working or integrating or interoperable with the Navy, which goes back to, you know, obviously the sea. And then I think, you know, as AI becomes more and more prevalent, it's going to be fun to evaluate its impact on our systems. But at the end of the day, I think really what it boils down to, even if you have AI, you're really looking at the whole system. How does that system perform in its mission environment? But yeah, there's some pretty exciting cutting edge things out there, and we look forward to evaluating them.
Well, I don't normally bring it up, but in my other job as, you know, the safety guy around here, the AI stuff kind of really scares the crap out of me. And so I'm looking forward to watching how the programs interface with you and then how you test it, and we can get AI and the capabilities that it'll bring safely out to the fleet.
Sure.
So. First of all, I want to thank you for coming in and joining me today. But before I let you go, I would like to do a little bit of recruiting for the acquisition MOS, because before you moved over to Mecatea, you spent a decent amount of time here at Syscom, which you talked about. But talk to us a bit about your experience within the acquisition MOS, and what would you tell any Marines that are thinking about making the switch?
I love it, which is, you know, why I'm still on active duty. I think it's an incredibly important part of what the Marine Corps does. And I say that because it, you know, at the end of the day, the whole reason the acquisition community exists is to give the warfighter something to go out and use in combat that works, it's safe, and, you know, can be sustained. So just that mission in itself, to me, you know, is really important and very fulfilling. But at the same time, you know, it's the working with people and you know, problem solving, seeing a Marine getting something that, you know, is far better than the legacy piece of equipment he or she may be using, and knowing that you contributed to fielding that, you know, it's like I said, it's very fulfilling. The other thing I would say is, you know, there's opportunities for selection to command equivalent billets. And, you know, for Marines, obviously, that I think is an important thing. Everybody that is in a command position is honored and blessed to be there. And the neat and unique thing is the acquisition community provides some of those really important command equivalent billets, as I said, that have a tremendous impact on our warfighting capability. So I would like to think that anybody that's sitting on the fence wondering whether or not, hey, would this be a good thing? They would just simply talk to people that are doing it, and they would find out it's a lot of fun and very rewarding.
A lot of fun, very rewarding. So, and I think a certain number of our viewers, they're obviously interested in acquisition, or they'd be listening to a different podcast. So. So hopefully we can get some Marines who want to make the plunge and come and join us here at Systems Command and PEO Land Systems. So.
Yeah, and I would just throw out this invitation. If anybody ever has any questions or, you know, would like to sit down and talk about it, I'm more than happy to talk over the phone or meet in person, and I'll do whatever I can to answer anybody's questions.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Before we let you go today, we've got this little thing that we do around here called the lightning round.
Oh, boy.
And so I got some lightning round questions for you.
Okay.
You ready to take a swing at those?
Bring it on.
Bring it on, right. So when you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A pilot.
A pilot, right?
A Marine pilot.
A Marine pilot. There you go. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And acquisition officer.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be?
Well, I'd say two. I'd love to have dinner with Jesus Christ and Abraham Lincoln.
Jesus Christ and Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Good choices.
It would be a great evening meal.
Where are we meeting them for dinner?
I'd have to go with something simple like a hamburger.
A hamburger?
Yeah.
A hamburger with Jesus and
that's
Abraham
right.
Lincoln?
All right. That's right. You learn a lot by, you know, eating a hamburger and having a good conversation.
So maybe Five Guys and...
Yeah, Red Robin,
Carl's,
you know, yeah.
All right, so what about, do you have any tips for maintaining a work-life balance?
Yes, you have to be deliberate about it. And what I mean by that is, well, I'll just confess, I'm a very flawed person. So I think you have to be deliberate about learning from your mistakes and trying to do better. And having said that, if your focus is I'll go to work every day and try and be the best that I can be while I'm at work, but then when you go home, you try and be the very best you can be at home, and you know, realizing that you're going to make mistakes, but try and become better, and also, you know, watch people that have succeeded in both areas, whether it's a professional area or, you know, just somebody out in, you know, society that demonstrates, you know, how to be a great spouse or father or mother or whatever it may be. And, you know, you try and take on maybe some of the lessons that they've shared or that they emulate every day, and you incorporate those into your own life. But I think it's really important that, you know, you do your job, you seek to do it as best you can. When you go home, you need to spend time on your family and keep it healthy and do the necessary things to let, you know, your spouse and your children know how important they are. Because at the end of the day, you know, at least I think everybody, you know, is going to retire, and you want that family unit intact and saying job well done.
Well, thanks. Great advice. All right. So what is a TV show, book, movie, or podcast that you would recommend?
I would definitely listen to Tripp's podcast. It should be on everybody's bestseller list.
We'll get you a check later for that. Thanks.
You know, I will admit, I love reading about leadership. So, you know, I guess I'll throw a few out there. First and foremost, you can learn an amazing amount of both spiritual and leadership information in Proverbs. So I enjoy reading Proverbs in the Bible. The two books I would say, Lincoln on Leadership, which is something that General Schrader had recommended we read a few years ago. I absolutely love that book. And then another one that I love, a leadership book, is The Score Will Take Care of Itself.
Okay.
It's a leadership philosophy by Bill Walsh. And I'm a 49er fan, and it was a tremendous book.
So it amazes me, all the Marines that have come on the show in two seasons so far, and nobody has mentioned, like, Message to Garcia yet.
I think that's, you know, that's something that is just, you know, part of your Marine Corps experience, right? Everybody certainly has read it. But I think, you know, as you spend more and more time in the Marine Corps, especially if you're a student of leadership and how to become better, you tend to ask people, hey, what's a good book that you've read? Or, you know, you might just see one laying on somebody's shelf or their desk, right? And it's some of these unique books that, you know, maybe not everybody has heard of, that when you provide that recommendation, you inspire somebody to pick it up, and you know, maybe they'll pick up some golden nuggets out of it too. So,
right.
Yeah, those are my two, that Lincoln on Leadership and The Score Will Take Care of Itself.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Again, I appreciate you coming on the show, and keep doing great stuff with your Mechateans.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate the opportunity, and look forward to seeing you around the block. Hoorah.
Okay. Hoorah. Well, this concludes another episode of Equipping the Corps. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. If so, please take a couple minutes to leave us a review, subscribe, and tell your friends about us. Until next time, stay safe. This is Tripp Elliott, signing off.